LinkedIn and being a published author.
Oh, okay. We'll just start right now because that's what it is. Okay. A little bit about my background. Thank you, Richard, for asking. I grew up in New York, ended up in the music business in New York, moved over to Los Angeles, and spent about 17 years in the music business. And I was marketing four major recording studios in Los Angeles. And it was my ability to get out and connect with people, right? I mean, that's my background. So I've always loved people, always loved being around people. Really started to get into the world of connecting. I had an ability to be able to connect to people, get inside to talk to people. Got into the world of networking back in the mid-70s, about 75. That's when people were talking about this thing called networking. So I just really jumped into it, liked it, made sense to me. And so that's kind of my back. And then, of course, I was in Vietnam in the 60s. I ended up retiring from the United States Army Reserve, a degree in marketing. So, I've been around marketing, advertising, marketing, promotion. VP of sales, VP of marketing, took companies that weren't doing very well and helped them do very well. And I did that clearly through my ability to connect with people, put together channels of distribution, getting better connected to people. It was always something that was always interesting to me when I first started.
So how did you start connecting? Were you always connecting to people, or did you suddenly have a flash in your mind, I need to connect to people to make it?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, I should have gone back even further. I started my first business, Rob, when I was 5 years old. I was living in the Bronx in New York, and I would convince people. For some reason, I wanted some money for candy and to go to the movies. But of course, in those days, it didn't take much, but it was a lot of money for a kid. So I would ask my neighbors if I can take their garbage to the incinerator. Each person was paying me $10 a week. I ended up with 12 clients. 10 cents a week, 12 clients. I think that's about $1.20. Is that what that was a week? That was a lot of money for a kid because I can go to the movies for 50 cents and that included plenty of money left over for candy. So, that's a good question. Why is it? I just love people. I started to really get. I understood from a DISC model of human behavior that, some people move at a faster pace than others. Some are moving at a slower pace. Some are like people oriented. Some are kind of task oriented. That there are these things called introverts, and then there are two-thirds of the population are your extroverts. So, you learn that in school, right? You learn things when you go to college. You just start to understand people, and it was just. It just made sense. It just made sense. I just love to be, I get energy from people. And that's why, and I get involved on projects. So I started to get involved in projects. And I started to bring people together. I had this ability to bring people together over the years towards some common goals. And then I got into the concept of networking. And then I began the expansion for the largest business networking referral system in the country, which is today known as BNI. In those days, it was known as the network because I began that expansion in the 1980s. We were known as the network in California. I brought it to Indianapolis because that's where I was moving. But I've never been shy. But everybody's a unique blend of everybody else. So, you start to realize that. So I really use my understanding of people as a way to adapt to people. I'm not there to change people, but I have enough strength and flexibility on my own to be able to adapt to people. I can move at a slower pace and I can be task oriented, but what moves me is when I can go somewhere. As
Awesome.
long as there are people, I'll go.
Awesome. So one, you've brought up several points, and let me address a couple of them. One thing you've mentioned is you help people. And I've interviewed several other networkers, and they all mention the same thing, that a vital part, perhaps the core of networking, is not what can you do for me? The core of networking is how can I help you? And that in turn down the road leads to them helping reversing the flow. Would you say that's true and why?
It is. So that's, that goes back to the Bible, I guess. It's, like what they call a giver's gain philosophy. The fact is, it's a very familiar law of reciprocity. Most relationships are built in some form of reciprocity. Richard, if I took you out and bought you lunch one day, you'd say, "Hey, I buy lunch next time." I mean, that's just the way it is. So, when you give to people, it triggers a chemical reaction in the brain, and it triggers what is it, it creates what is some serotonin, and the serotonin is what makes people feel good. So the big payoff is when you can share. You take the networking concept; it's all about sharing ideas, information, and resources. So, but I love. I'm a giver, and unfortunately, a lot of the world is made up of people that are takers. So I give a lot, and in return, I am able to, it's like an investment. Networking for me over the years has been like a savings account. You invest time in people. I give people energy. I give them positive thoughts. I give them ideas, and I connect dots. The power is clearly in the connection. So between you and I, we've got something that's in, the connection between you and I is between you and I and something else. Right, that means so I'm always looking for that something else, whether we both love the Miami Dolphins or the Indianapolis Colts, or we both love just being an American, or we both love the Beatles, or we there's something. And I always love to go after the relationship, and let me make another comment if I can, Richard,
Of
because
course.
in 2004. My first book was Networking Your Way to Success. The second book came out, which was called The Power Was in the Connection, and it took on a relationship focus. In fact, I built it around a philosophy called Net Being, BEING, Net Being. And that was a word that captures the essence of a relationship mindset. Built around the premise that you got to be before you can do. You do to the extent of who you are, and who you are is based predominantly on how you think. So the key to power, success, and accomplishment is our method of thinking. But I've learned over the years that it's so much more fruitful when I go after relationships than if I went after sales. See, networking, I mean, let's face it, networking is dead. I said it in 2004 when that book came out. And it takes time for people to get it. But listen, it's awkward, it's hit and miss, it's situational. It always lacks support, and it's never about you. So the only thing that's left is to go after relationship. I mean, if I ask 100 people in a room, how many of you are here to sell something? Everybody would raise their hand. The question is, how many of you are here to buy something? Most people don't raise their hand. So there's clearly a disconnect. But getting back to your original question, the gift is clearly in the giving. And here's a quote, I think it from William Blakely, I think he was an English poet. He says, "You always give without remembering, and you always receive without forgetting."
Okay.
And when you give, you get people's attention. And when you get people's attention, it's a beginning process for making connection.
And that's something I want to explore a little for is that connection. So what you it sounds like you believe in is connecting people together, almost like the power broker, you could say. You're the person who sets up these two people to meet, and by doing that, you form the networks. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, a network is a system of elements. It's people that link together that have common goals. So everybody has a shared purpose. So the power for anybody that's networking is to become somewhat purpose-driven. Why do people go to a chamber of commerce meeting or business after hours or a networking event? Well, they go there to better themselves. So you take the concept of them wanting to better themselves, then what you do is you move into bettering them. See, that's the giver's gain concept. They're there to better themselves. What they have to say is more important than what I have to say. So I become the most interested person in the room, not becoming the most interesting person. I'm going to become the most interested. It gets people's attention. But the power today, where we are in the year 2016, is we've got to continue to look for ways to become more useful and more resourceful to others. It's just the way it is. I get more useful and resourceful. I have a need right now for a client of mine that needs somebody to ghostwrite a book. Well, what an unbelievable opportunity to know somebody like you that can get that done. So it's all about those eight magic words, Richard, which is, I know someone that can get that done. That's where the money is. That's, you know, you go to a store today and you ask them if they have something and they say no. And you say, well, do you know where I can get it? And more times than not, they say, I don't know. I believe today in business, you have to come from knowing. That's where the money is. I mean, that's, and it's not just about, you know, the desire for success hasn't changed. What's changing is how we get there. And we're just better together. I mean, there's not even a mystery about it. And I'll tell you another thing that's important. Today, more than any other, people are more vulnerable today than any other time in history. And I mean that they're open. They're not defenseless. They're just open. And as a result of being open, people are more approachable. And that all is built around the concept of social capital, which is way down. That's what makes people open and more vulnerable. So it's a great time for people to connect in this country.
What do you mean by social capital?
Social capital is defined as the glue that keeps communities together. You experience it in regards to associations. There are associations that, for some reason, they don't have a lot of people showing up at their meetings, and their membership is declining. That shows social capital is low. What about people that have people over the house for dinner? You ever notice in the old days they used to do it all the time, but today they don't because we live in a hurried society?
A what society?
A hurried society.
Okay.
Hurried. Is that a great word? Is it a good word? I don't know.
Never heard it before.
Yeah. Just like Bigley. I never heard of Bigley either. But Donald Trump tends to use it.
Okay.
It's a real word, Bigley.
Interesting.
But you know, SAT scores are higher when communities come together. There's less crime in communities when communities come together. We got people living in this country that don't even know who their neighbors are. That's how low social capital in this country has gotten down. In fact, there was a book that was put out by a Harvard professor. I think his name was Robert Putnam. He wrote a book called Bowling Alone. Bowling Alone.
Okay.
And he basically stated that a large percentage of our population bowls independent from leagues. And in fact, he was predicting that over a short period of time, bowling leagues will become extinct because people are not coming together to bowl like they had in the past.
Interesting.
So that was an interesting conversation. But that's what I mean when I say social capital. That's the glue that keeps families and keeps communities together. So the key is to increase social capital. What do? It's a very simple concept. Start having people over your home. Start hosting meetings. Start getting involved with your church or whatever faith-based initiatives you go after. And get involved in projects. Make a difference for veterans. That's what increases social capital.
I see. Okay. Now, moving forward just a little bit, you've written books on LinkedIn and you've talked about LinkedIn and you promote LinkedIn. How does LinkedIn help your average business person or freelancer get ahead?
Okay. Well, answering that, and by the way, the LinkedIn book is 21 Days to Success with LinkedIn, as I think you know. It's the second book in a series, all put together through the eyes of a fictional character whose name happens to be Nick Rowten, G-N-I-K-R-O-W-T-E-N. And if you spell it backwards, it spells networking, right? So this is a kind of a hidden meaning. And in my first book, which was Networking Your Way to Success, he was in the book, but he only said the eight magic words of networking. I know somebody that can get it done. So in answer to your question about LinkedIn, it's pretty simple. LinkedIn is the largest professional database in the world. Now, if I look at LinkedIn's numbers, based on what they say, but this is, you know, it varies and it's growing. They've got 414 million people worldwide, about 118 million in our country here. I've got a geographic reach of 200 countries. I can speak on LinkedIn in different languages. The number one activity on LinkedIn is searching for people. So either you're searching for people or people are searching for you. It's a pretty powerful engine when you think about it. And the way it's set up, it's predictable and reliable. But and then in the last quarter of 2015, you're looking at about 3.7 billion, with a B, page views. And then the average time worldwide is 17 minutes a month. Now, LinkedIn started in May of 2003. I got onto LinkedIn in May of 2004. So I was one of the first 200,000 people worldwide. Now, why did I go on LinkedIn? It seemed like the place to be, right? It's a free platform. There are premium features, but there's a basic membership. You pay nothing and you can get a lot of good stuff out of it. But you know, the power for the freelancer, the person that wants to really embrace the power of LinkedIn, they got to do a few quick things. One is they've got to understand why they're on LinkedIn. So the why's got to be big enough. So whether you're a job seeker, or maybe you just happen to be a freelancer looking for work, maybe you want to do it for research. I mean, but if you're looking for people, it doesn't get much better. So once you know why you're on LinkedIn, well, you got to have a completed profile. I mean, most people that understand LinkedIn understand that there's five different levels. Most people put very little time and effort into it. You know, because if you, at least you want to build an online digital reputation. So you got to get, you got to build your profile out. Of course, as you know, Richard, or at least I know that you know, you happen to be one of those writers that do profiles, right? So you know that. So you got to get it. You got to get it completed, which gets you up to an all-star level. You've got to get it optimized, which means when people search for you, that they can find you. And then you've got to develop a connection strategy. Most people don't even have that. And I teach a lot. You know, I coach a lot, and I speak a lot on these topics. But, you know, a connection strategy is what? I mean, I want to connect with people I know, and I want to connect with people I want to know. And then I certainly want to, from a connection standpoint, utilize LinkedIn as a way to generate results. You know, if I want business, I want to get business from it. And I found people that have found me on LinkedIn. Socially, it's proved out. Digitally, it's proved out. Social proof. Because if somebody wants to hire me as a speaker or a trainer or a coach, I probably have about 50 different recommendations. So the great news is... it's not me saying how great I am. It's other people saying it. And I'm not talking about skills and endorsements. So to me, it's an unbelievable tool to search out. I don't connect with anybody unless they have a completed profile, they have a picture. And I'm always curious. You know, there's so many interesting things, Richard, about connecting with people. You know, you got to have a connection strategy, because here's what I find with some people. They have a tendency to just, you know, it says, hey, I want to add you to my LinkedIn professional network, and then they click accept or not. They may or may not even know the people, but it's like collecting business cards. What do people do with business cards? I think what they do is they put a rubber band around them and put them in their desk drawer.
That's what I do with them.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So the key is, don't confuse activity for accomplishment. Everybody loves the joy of interaction. I got it. That's why we all do this. We just love to be engaged. We love to affirm the value. You know, it's like asking great questions. I love to go to events and ask questions because it affirms the value of a relationship. And in fact, it gives people joyful experiences of themselves. You know, if I met you somewhere, Richard, and I start talking and I noticed that you got a business card that says the Writing King, and then the author of Real World Survival, Safe Computing, Inside Secrets for a Professional, you know, all this kind of stuff. I'd be blown away. You're a blogger, you're an analyst, you're a ghostwriter. In fact, I've got a lady friend of mine. Before I forget, I'll introduce you to her. She has a company called Say It For You.
Mm-hmm.
and she hires people virtually, kind of like you're doing is with Donna, if you're available. And she does just a lot of blogging, and she does a lot of ghostwriting. She's a great writer, and she's got a whole team of people all over the place. And it's called Say It For You.
Of
In
course, I'm
fact,
interested.
if you make a note of that, just look up Say It For You. Her name is Rhoda. Tell her you're a friend of mine. And she's a very good friend of mine. She's known me about 25 years.
Okay.
So I hope that answers some of your questions.
So far, you've done really good.
Thank you.
Now, let's see, you've answered quite a few of them here. Well, what shouldn't you do with LinkedIn? You've talked about how you use LinkedIn, but how do you use it wrong? Is there a way to use it wrong?
Is it a way for what?
A way to use it incorrectly, where it's not
Yeah,
helping you or even
of course
hurting you.
there is. Well, the biggest mistake I think most people make, if I'm dealing with some mistakes, is they don't use it. So that's a big mistake. But you just don't accept. You've got to engage with people. It's about communication. If I ask anybody, what's the biggest investment you make when you build relationships with people? You'd have to understand you have to invest time in people. So one mistake, incorrectly, I think, is just don't click accept. If you want to accept, it's fine. But at least take a look at their profile. See, they've got such a great system that when I look at your profile, Richard, you're going to know it because it'll say people that viewed your profile, right? You'll know that. And if you've got a premium thing, you can look at everybody that's looking at it. But if you're not on a premium membership, then you can maybe see 3 to 5 people at the most. But that's fine. At least you'll know that I looked at your profile. Then what I would do is comment. I'd say, hey, Richard, thank you so much for taking a few moments to look at my profile. And thank you for the invite to get better connected. By the way, just happened to notice that you happen to have written a book about inside secrets for ghostwriting. And I'd love to talk to you further about that. Maybe there's something we can do meaningful in 2016 together, something we can do meaningful together. Now, if I did that, Richard, you'd be blown away, I would think. Wow, somebody actually looked at so that's what I do. So that's a mistake that most people make. They just accept it, and that's it. They don't understand. In fact, on LinkedIn with connections, I'm always interested in why people want to connect with me. I know I'm wonderful. I know people want to connect with me. If anybody reads this whole interview, please make sure they have my LinkedIn address right in there so
Of
they can
course.
connect with me. But what I do, Richard, is I can talk to you without even accepting. I can, there's a little box on the top right that I can click on and say, hey, Richard, thanks so much for the invite. I was just curious, was there anything in my profile that you found interesting? And was there any particular reason why you think we should connect? Right? I can do that. Because you see, if I cancel you out, I can never get back to you again. You're out of my life forever, according to how rules are now with LinkedIn, if I just X you out. So I'm not looking to X, if I don't know you, I don't know you. If you're spamming me, I'll put down that you're spamming me. But or I can archive people. But it's nothing. So to me, you got to respond to people. You got to thank people. Another thing people don't do enough is they don't share and comment. People should be sharing content and share information. On LinkedIn, you have as many followers as you have people that you're connected to. And on LinkedIn, you can also have more followers that you're not connected to because maybe they like what you've done in some of your publishing. But using it correctly is trying to, in my opinion, it's just trying to sell people right off the, they connect with you, and the next thing you know, they're trying to sell you shit. To me, I think it's important to go from high tech to high touch. Somebody living in Dallas, Texas, can connect with everybody in Dallas, Texas. I can tell you how many people are on LinkedIn in Dallas, Texas. And I can target my market, if I'm looking to sell, which is fine. But what I have to do is I have to have some kind of a connection strategy, which means I've got to go after the relationship. I've got to at least understand you. I've got to at least maybe share some content with you and get better connected to you more I know about you, the more likely it is we can help each other. And then one day I say, hey, Richard, I know we've been kind of connected on LinkedIn since February, and I was just thinking, we're both here in Dallas, and why not meet? Are you familiar with the Starbucks right over there on 3rd Street? I mean, I can go from high-tech to high-touch.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, going after the sale, just selling. I just think we live in a world where relationships increase quality of life. I think everybody loves that. Nobody wants to be spammed. You know, it's not a cocktail party like Facebook. It's a very large professional network, and you don't have to spam people. I can put lists together up to 50 people and send direct messages to people. But you got to share something which is meaningful to people. That's what I think people, they don't spend any time on it. They don't study it. They don't utilize it as the great tool that it is, Richard. So
now,
that's just some thoughts.
You mentioned Facebook. How does LinkedIn fit into other social networks in a strategy? If somebody was putting together a networking strategy, are there other social networks that they can use with LinkedIn?
Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of social platforms, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Tumblr, whether they're using YouTube, whether they're using Google Plus. But when you say using LinkedIn, I mean, I can integrate media into you could enrich it with media and put links into LinkedIn to connect to other platforms. And there's things you can show from other platforms. So to me, Facebook is a cocktail party, and I'm always very interested in how people are doing. And, you know, I can see what people are eating tonight or ate last night. I can see how they feel about sports. I can see who wants to make America great. I can see, in fact, I can let's see. I can see all the people that are hurting.
Uh-huh.
That just asking for prayers. And then on LinkedIn, I'm not going to see a lot of that stuff. It's more business. It's just more business-like. And so to me, I think they all go together. You know, look, in the world of networking or marketing in general, you create a marketing mix. All advertising, marketing, and promotion pays. Some of it just pays more than others. You know, it's not just about on LinkedIn. I don't think it's just about putting an ad and expecting to drive results. I think you engage with people. It's about engagement. It's about relationships. It's about facilitating communication. You got to be relevant. You know, it's timely response. I was coaching somebody the other day. They pay me money so I can coach them. And I go to their, they want to learn more about how to make the most from LinkedIn. She had, I've never seen this before, Richard, 185 people wanting to connect with her.
Mm-hmm.
She's connected with nobody.
Interesting.
But, she's going to have to pay me some, it makes no sense. I don't care what people think, look, they've got privacy settings. You can hide from people. You want to hide from people? I had somebody a couple of weeks ago tell me that. They want to hide. They don't want people to know who they are. So guess what? What the hell are you doing on LinkedIn?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So I tell them. I say, you're either LinkedIn or you're linked out. You're linked out. You don't know why you're on LinkedIn? You're linked out. You don't know why you don't have a completed profile? You're not LinkedIn. You're linked out. You're not optimized? You're linked out. In fact, if I was you, I'd get the hell out.
And he paid you to say that.
Is that funny? LinkedIn or linked out?
Okay. That is funny. But one of my reasons for asking that is how you only have so much time in a day. So I already know you believe you should focus on LinkedIn if you're marketing your services or trying to network. What other networks would be useful to use in your search for people of a like mind, so to speak?
Well, what other kinds of networks? And by the way, I do recommend that people spend 17 minutes a day on LinkedIn. I'm not asking them to do much. But let's think about networks for a minute. Well, there's what kind of networks exist? Well, there's business networks, right, like your Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
You got your knowledge networks, like the American Association of something, or the National Association of Realtors, or the American Medical Association. I mean, that's where I go get knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There are spiritual networks. You know, that's where I'm faith-based, and I go, and I'm there for spiritual reasons. There's they're service-related networks, right? Those Rotaries, those Kiwanis people. I mean, they're great people. The Sitoma people. I mean, hey, give me a break. Sitoma. I mean, these people have been up and running since 1921, and they're there to serve mankind. The problem with them is social capital. Once again, declining memberships, and nobody's got the time to serve mankind anymore. See, so they're dying all over the country. There's some of the other veteran service organizations. Those are networks too, right? These military assistance groups. And then there are social networks. So to me, and the social networks could be singles clubs, you know, could be, a fitness club. And that's a good way to network, right? To build my body and my well-being and my strength and stuff like that. So to me, I think it's all integrated. It's a marketing mix. I mean, I'm a big believer in LinkedIn because I can get, you know, if I was in the recruiting business, I can find anybody anywhere in the world as long as their information happens to be in their profile. If I'm looking for a ghostwriter within a 50-mile radius from whatever zip code I want to find somebody or anybody in the country, you better have it in your profile for me to find it. Right? I mean, and I'm sure if anybody knows that, you do. So to me, they're all integrated. I think they support one another. I think people like to watch videos. And it's good. In fact, I just came back from doing a series of 9 videos, little 2-minute videos, 2, 3-minute videos, just talking about embracing the power of LinkedIn and whether you're LinkedIn or linked out, right? That was the whole concept. So those are, you know, fast and furious, and I'll start to put that all over the place.
Interesting. So video is another way to network, is by
Oh.
producing videos to outflow information to other people.
Yeah, well, it's all a, well, about the bottom line for your success is being visible. You've got to be seen, you've got to be heard. I mean, that's why you're a writer. You're the writing king, Richard. And my God, I mean, but pictures, I mean, they can tell 1,000 words or whatever that phrase is, right? So video is great. Anybody that does video, they love the idea of talking about video. But it works beautifully. There's a lot of video that you can look at, watch. You go to TED Talks and see what that's all about.
I
I had
love
a
TED
client
Talks.
today. I had a client today that was hurting, and she's an introvert, and she's afraid of asking for help. She just doesn't want to ask for help. And I told her to go listen. I want you to go to YouTube right after this phone call. I want you to watch Steve Jobs, and then put the word failure right next to it. Steve Jobs failure. You'll find the video, 1 minute and 47 seconds. And then we'll talk about what you just watched. And the bottom line is that Steve Jobs talks about he's never gotten anything in his life without asking for help. And he noticed in his lifetime that whenever he'd never found anybody that wouldn't help him. And it goes back to a story with Hewlett Packard when he was 12 years old, when he wanted some parts for a microprocessor or whatever he was doing at the time. But yeah, a lot of people are afraid to ask for help.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because they don't want to impose on people. They think everybody's busy, and they think that there's nothing that they. It's like a lot of people in transition are that way. You know, they're underemployed or unemployed, and for some reason they think because they're out of work that there's nothing they bring to the table. But it has nothing. What they're bringing to the table is an opportunity for somebody to help them. And when we help people, it makes us feel good. So people just don't want to impose. That's why that whole concept of a WHO network. You know, a WHO network. And I forget the guy's name, but he started to really talk about this thing called the WHO network, WHO. And the question is, who in your life are you neglecting? And the people that most people neglect are the people that are closest to them. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. And the concept is everybody you need to know to get everything you need to get done, you already know. So the truth of it is, you don't need to meet anybody anymore. Now, I must admit, if you met me, so you know, I've got probably about 6,000 direct contacts or whatever the number is, and I can access about 30 million people. But I meet people all the time. I'm in front of 30,000 people a year speaking. So, but In fact, I just had a lady, I haven't seen her for 25 years. We just reconnected. She does these think tanks. She's invited me to come in and let's think about the, embracing the power of LinkedIn. And she invites 50 people to have lunch with me. And it's all built around my topic and my work. And so that's nice. But relationships never end. They simply shift.
Now, you mentioned speaking. Is that something that people should be doing more of, speaking in public, speaking at the Rotary Club, speaking at their Toastmasters group, which I'm a member of,
Of
speaking,
course.
giving little speeches? It's
Well, it
videos are
depends. I mean,
impersonal. There's
look.
nobody there. There's nobody in front of you in a video. When speaking, you got people in front of you, so it's a little bit
Yeah,
different.
so it goes back again that the bottom line for more success is you got to be visible, you got to be seen, you got to be heard. So the concept of speaking is great if you enjoy speaking. And it all begins with having a passion behind some topic. So the heart fully develops before the brain. Your passion for the work you do resides in your heart. So if you're passionate about something, and that's how I got my first book. I was speaking about networking, my passion for being around people. And this guy, who's an acquisition editor for a company at the time called Kendall Hunt, about a $50 million publishing company, was jumping into the world of business books. And he thought this would make a great topic. And that's when the first, so that's when that got heard. That was my first book. My second book was The Powers in the Connection. And then my third and fourth books were a result of speaking at an association for independent information professionals. And I met the acquisition editor from Information Today, Plexus Publishing. He loved the message and said, "Wow, I'd love to publish a book. If you would write one," right? That whole thing. So three of the four books was as a result of my speaking. So it's just a great part of the marketing mix. So in answer to your question, if you enjoy speaking, look, there are a ton of people out there that want to write books. They don't know how to write books. So there's five mistakes most people make when they're writing books. One of them just happens to be that they can't write, and they need a, and the biggest mistake they made was they didn't bring in a ghostwriter. Right?
That makes sense.
So yeah, so speaking is great. It works well for me. And I speak all the time, as often as I can. And I'm a full-time professional speaker, and people pay me money. In fact, I raise my money every year, Richard. Every year now. As you get older, you might as well charge more, right?
Of course. Yeah, I've found in life you're worth what you want to be worth, and so you should ask for lots
Yeah.
of, yeah.
I got a guy right now, one of my newest coaching clients. An interesting quick story. I met him 48 years ago. His cousin was a drummer in my band. I had a band. His cousin was a drummer in my band. His band was known as the Vanilla Fudge. They had a hit called You Keep Me Hanging On. That was their big hit
Yeah, I
at that
remember.
time.
I remember.
Then he becomes Rolling Stone magazine now, and then he moved on to play with Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart for years and Ozzy, just he became one of the most revered rock and roll drummers of all time. Then what he does, so the top 100, he's ranking 28 on the list. But the bottom line is this. He wrote a book. It's called Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll. Right? Sex, Drums, and Rock and Roll. But he wants to get out from the drums. He's been drumming for 50 years. I mean, that's a lot of effort. He's still drumming. But he really wants to really make something happen with his book, wants to get it, promote it, and market it. But he really wants to speak. See, he really wants to speak. And he's a speaker, kind of, but, and he's got some great stories. So my job is to work with him to get some of the comments that some of the people are saying and some of the experiences he's had, and how do you translate it into a corporate environment? I mean, he gets a call, he's asked by Jimi Hendrix to come into Electric Ladyland to jam. And in there is a girl by the name of Janis Joplin that was singing. In there was a guitar player by the name of Eric Clapton that was playing guitar. They had the Winter Brothers, both Edgar and Johnny Winter were in there. They were just jamming. And he was just this drummer that was playing drums, right? So How do you translate that? And all it is that he got to hang out around some of the best people. You surround yourself with people that are being successful in your industry. And that's what he did. And that's what kept him going all those years. So the point I'm making, obviously, is that he's wanting to utilize speaking because he can make money at speaking. And it's going to
Interesting.
help him with his book and his marketing and his promotion, all kinds of stuff. His name, by the way, is Carmine Appice.
Ah, thank you.
I don't know if you know that name, but that's his name.
One of my favorite authors is named Larry Winget, and he wrote a book, People Are Idiots and I Can Prove It. And
Yeah, he's good.
one of the things he says is, you know of him, good, is if you want to be rich, you need to hang out with rich people, and don't hang out with people who aren't rich. And it sounds like you're saying sort of the same thing. If you want to be whatever, then you need to hang out with whatever kind of people.
Well, you always want to surround yourself with people that are winning. Look, I don't want to be. Look, there's a lot of victims in the world. I'm not interested in drama. I'm the creator of my own experiences. I got that. And I come from. And everything that I do in my life is a moment-to-moment choice. I got that. So, but I know I can't be in two different places at the same time, right? So I'm either happy or I'm not. I'm either doing what successful people do or I don't. But that's what I chose to do. I'm not interested in hanging out with people that are losing. I don't like being around takers. I don't like to be around people that don't have the integrity. And I stay away from these people. And I love to hang out with big, successful people. So the answer to that is right, because, and I've always brought people in to work with that are smarter than me. Really smarter. I mean, I got a lady that's a business partner, that's a project manager for me, and she heads up an MBA program at a nice university. I got another guy ran a career center for Lilly Pharmaceutical for years to lead a team for me in regards to some of our training initiatives. These are smarter than me people. I'm just good at bringing people together because I don't have a fear of making the mistake. I don't have a fear of talking to people. I just have this ability to reach out and to connect and to come from being, it's a place you come from. Networking is a place you come from. It's not a place you go to. It's not something you do sometimes in some places. It's something we can do all the time and everywhere.
Can you go into that in a little more detail?
I could. It's like taking the moment and dancing with it. I mean, that's what it's all about. To me, you come from what you're passionate about. I don't lose networking as a place. I don't think of it as an event, which most people do. I think of it as a place you come from. And if you took E.E. Cummings, who happens to be an American poet, again, you may know these names. He said you can teach almost anybody to think, believe, and know, but it's so difficult to teach people how to be. So for me, it's all about being. I retired from the military. You had to be all you can be, right? I mean, that was a nice play on words. But to me, I love transformation. I love to challenge how I think. I love to challenge my assumptions, my beliefs. And I've heard this, and we've all heard this. Charlie Tremendous Jones, I think, was the guy that started this conversation. But you're who you are as a result of where you've been, people you've met, the books you read, the tapes you listen to, and the experiences you have. And if I don't have any of those going on, then I'm going to be that same exact person. So I want to enrich my life. And that's why I love this concept of networking, Richard. That's what's so great about networking, right? I get to access people. I get to meet more and more people. It's all about the joy of interaction. It's fun. It's like I'm working with Carmine. His book manager is Carol Ross. She used to manage a group called KISS. Then she moved on. She's been managing Tommy James and the Shondells all these years. And now I'm going into a big book signing and a show in New York City next week. And she said, "Oh yeah, maybe you can help Tommy." And all he had was a bunch of hit songs, right? I think we're alone now. Crimson and Clover. Who knows? I wasn't necessarily a big Tommy James fan, but all they need is money. because I charge money. So if they have some money, I can help them.
All right. Do you have any training or reading that you'd recommend to our listeners or readers in this case?
Well, when you say training or meetings, I will say this. There's an organization that I've been part of since 2009. They're called Gold Star Referral Clubs. They meet weekly. When you talk about the networks, like you said, Richard, there's these business networks, and there's the ones that, and there's these things called referral groups. You know, if you break it down, you got strong and casual contact groups. The casual ones are the chamber meetings. Everybody's just meeting everybody. And then you've got those referral groups that meet weekly to build relationships and refer business. So goldstarreferralclubs.com is what's exploding right now. I think they got about 100 clubs in 15 states. And the distinction between them and other referral clubs is they just have a shorter meeting with less rules, more fun, and people can pay monthly. But referral clubs are big. That's what I would suggest they do. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess. Are there any? Let's look at each piece. So, do you recommend joining a local networking group like a referral club or a?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're looking for referral business, because I think we all meet people best through recommendation. So to become a member of a chamber is good because that promotes an economic welfare in a community. To join to be targeted into a knowledge network. So if I'm a HR consultant, I would think that I would join. I would certainly join SHRM, Society for Human Resource Professionals, right? I mean, that's what I would do. If I'm a trainer or a facilitator, I want to join an association of training and development, AISTD or something. So you want to get into knowledge networks because you want to get smack into your industry. You want to be with your peers, then you want to get into a referral group if you're looking for business referrals, and then you want to promote economic welfare in a community. But you got to and you got to include it as part of your marketing strategy. So it's just got to be part of your planning. So that's what I would recommend to people, and then I would recommend that they have an online presence and keep it updated, and give updates and publish stuff and be on LinkedIn. And
And
then, of course, go ahead.
of course, they should read your books.
Well, they could. They could. They could go to ronsokinick.com and they can figure out who I am and what I'm about. But for anybody reading this interview, I mean, it would be great for them to go, wow, what an interesting person. Let's invite him to come out and speak. I go anywhere in the world. I was just on the phone with a planner in Hawaii that wants me to go to Guam. I've been to Guam 3 times. You know, I go to Guam. It's only 17 hours by plane. For you, Richard, it's longer because I'm in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, add 2 hours.
And when I go there, it's a 12-hour difference. So I got to spend the whole week. I got to spend the whole week, and I got to have other clients. So I got to stay at the Hilton and train them. I got to have an insurance company and train them. I got to have the chamber and. You know, I'm just not going 17 hours down the road, but the good news is the further I travel, the more I charge, right? Like I'm sure you would.
Of course.
Yeah, you charge more when you have to go that far. And then while I'm there, I might as well go to Australia. I can get there in about 3 hours, maybe. So, but that'll keep me there for months. So, yeah, speaking, training, coaching, reading my books for those that are interested in that.
I
But they,
suppose
yeah,
joining
that's
a
about
group
it.
like Toastmasters to learn how to speak or taking training on
Oh,
LinkedIn and all those kind of things.
yeah. See, I never went. I've been to Toastmaster meetings, and I kind of bypassed Toastmasters. I went directly to the National Speakers
Of
Association
course.
because I want to model myself after people that are doing it, right? That are making money at it. But I will say that Toastmasters is clearly a great organization, and for anybody that. For, you know, if they want to get into the world of speaking and they're kind of shy with their presentations, they're going to count all the times that you go, they're going to come up with words of the day and they're going to have these lights and it's unbelievable. It's just a great organization.
Yeah, I'm a member of it. I got to give a speech next week.
Yeah. and you'll probably do great, and you'll get critique, and it's great. What a great life. Get critique.
Good critique, you know, positive, uplifting critique from a group of friends. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're getting close to being out of time. Do you have anything else you'd like to add in closing?
No, I think we've covered a lot of stuff. Right now I'm really hot on LinkedIn, so I'm just talking a lot about it. I'm helping people a lot. And for yourself, Richard, you might look at the 'cause you're an information professional, I would think.
Yes.
You might look at AIIP. That's a pretty cool group. You might find it Association of Independent Information Professionals. But no, I just think that if there was any closing comments, you just become a giver, and you become use more. You look for ways to become more useful and resourceful to people. And I find that the more people I meet, the more opportunities I have to help others.
Interesting.
That's it. I mean, it's that simple. There's no mystery behind any of it.
Very interesting. Okay, well, thank you for the interview.
Yeah, when will this come together?
So for I'm gonna, for the transcriber, this